Attention Britain, let's get busy. It's time to get the giggle mills grinding on the shop floor of showbiz as we clock on for comedy on the shenanigan shift of Unnatural Acts. Yes, as bustling, booming Big Bang Britain comes out of the doldrums, there's a bright new dawn a-breaking for anyone with enough spunk to get on their bicycle and pedal for prosperity. We've no time for the knockers and doubters, shirkers and funkers, because the goods can be grabbed by the go-getters. People like our friends, Mr. and Mrs. Hardy, a modern young working couple who've got where they are today through sheer vim, vigour, zip and zest.
Jeremy, wake up! Caroline's here!
What? Oh, hello, Caroline. Sorry, Kit, I must have dozed off. It's been a long day.
I know, and I'm so proud of you. It's not every day you get promoted.
Yeah, well done, Jeremy.
Yes, it's a big step from under assistant secondary grading officer to assistant secondary grading officer.
Well, I always say that if a celebration's called for, you can't beat a bit of bubbly. So, here.
Ah, thanks, Caroline. Playtime bath foam.
Yeah, it always tickles me nose.
Well, in the meantime, let's have some champagne.
No, you better wait till Paul gets here.
So, Jeremy, did your overnight success take a long time?
Well, I always say if you want to make something out of yourself in this life, you have to start at the bottom...
And kiss it.
Don't exaggerate. There's no reason I shouldn't be friendly towards my boss. He happens to enjoy a round of golf.
Yeah, but you didn't have to buy him the clubs.
Oh, that'll be Paul.
Hey, Jezza! Congratulations, my son! Whee! Is it hard at the top? I know mine is. Whoa, yeah, right! Oh, nice bit of champers. Yeah, right. Hey, look, I told you, didn't I? Didn't I tell you? I said all you needed was a bit of confidence, didn't I? By the way, can I have those books back?
What books, Paul?
Oh, you know, I lent you, what was it? How to Get What You Want at the Office, Creative Aggression, Trample Your Way to the Top, and Noddy Closes a Deal.
Oh, yes, I didn't read them, actually.
Oh, you should have done, Jezza. There's some great stuff in there. I took Jock from the market for a power lunch the other day, and it worked a treat. He paid for both cheeseburgers.
I don't think you learn success from a book, Paul. It's simply a question of personality, timing, and initiative.
Oh, yeah, that's right. PTI, chapter 6.
No, it's chapter 4.
Oh, yeah, sorry, chapter 4. Chapter 4, the golf club's gambit.
Ah, yeah, but the important thing, Paul... The important thing is to do a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. Look at Kitty, for example. She's got her own business off the ground. A specialist shop in Islington selling just one line of goods. What's it called again, darling?
Just hat pins.
That's right. She started off with just one hat pin and built up her own business by the sweat of her brow.
Well, that and $100,000 from Daddy.
Yes, well, of course that's where investment comes into the picture. And there's young Caroline. She's doing ever so well at the bookshop, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Do you know, the other day they left me there all by myself.
Oh, big responsibility, eh, Caroline?
Yeah, but they let me out in the morning when they opened up.
You see, for too long the welfare state has encouraged the worker to become spineless and weak-kneed by being breastfed on armloads of handouts from soft-hearted highbrows, so he can't get his teeth into the necessary legwork to stand on his own two feet.
Well, that guy doesn't need a job, he needs surgery.
You may deride my metaphor, Kit, but let me remind you that the empty vessel that lasts longest does not always glister before the storm has bolted. Yes. So, Paul, how's business with you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've hit a bit of a dodgy patch, Jezza. I've had to close down a sex shop. I tried putting on a live bed show, but it didn't seem to work. Well, perhaps it was a mistake to use bunks. And the worst of it is, of course, they've cut me off the dole. I mean, what a liberty. I mean, it's not as if I'm work shy. I had lots of jobs when I was signing on.
Paul, you need a hobby to keep you occupied.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a hobby once. I used to keep tropical fish, but they kept dying.
Maybe you didn't change the water often enough.
Water? Yeah.
You need a healthy, vigorous outdoor male pursuit. For example, I was part of a group that used to reenact historical events.
Oh, like the Civil War?
No, we used to do the plague. We'd sneeze a lot and throw each other into pits. And, of course, Kitty used to collect watercolours.
Yeah, at one point I had nearly 40 tins.
Well, I've got a great hobby. I collect stickers. I've been doing it for 15 years now.
Yeah, how many have you got?
7. Look, this is the latest one I sent off for, see? Neighbourhood Watch Scheme.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know how many you have to collect before you get the watch, though.
No, Caroline, Neighbourhood Watch is where concerned householders get together to prevent criminals from preying on the community.
Well, what about the police?
No, you can't prevent them, unfortunately. But I don't need a hobby. I'm going to go out there and do it on my own, eh? I'm going to set up business in the major growth enterprise area in this country today.
Good for you, Paul. But be warned, in today's economic climate, the name of the game is streamlining. A business must be flexible, lean, lithe, limber, sinewy.
Muscular, small, tight buttocks. Sorry, where was I?
In the middle of Penthouse, by the sound of it. Hey, are we going to drink this champagne or what?
Yes, I propose some toast.
Yes, here's that. Health, wealth, prosperity, and money.
Money!
Oh, God, I hate shopping with a hangover.
Yeah, it was a bit reckless to mix those drinks last night.
Well, I think the bubble bath after the champagne was a mistake.
Hey, you spent a lot of money today, didn't you?
Well, you know what they say. A fool and his money are soon parted. That's why I spent Jeremy's.
I didn't use any of my money. That nice department store gave me £3,000 free credit.
I don't think you should have spent it all at once, though. Well, this is yours, Caroline.
Oh, yeah, I need that for me meeting.
What meeting?
The Neighbourhood Watch. They've asked me to a meeting, so I thought I'd better do a bit of, you know, power dressing.
Ah, that explains the electric revolving bow tie.
Which reminds me, I better get going, otherwise I'll miss the initiation ceremony. And I've got to go home first and pick up a white sheet and some kindling.
See ya! Now, let's sort this out. 3 pairs of shoes, cashmere twin set, pearl necklace for me, and a nice pair of tartan shoelaces for Jeremy.
Oh, hello, kid.
Jeremy, what are you doing home?
Well, you know what I was saying yesterday about industry needing to be leaner and more competitive to respond to the natural forces of the marketplace, to be more streamlined?
You've been fired.
No, streamlined. Out of the job. So I'm afraid we might have to cut out any unnecessary spending. Oh, so you've been out shopping, have you? Buying more things we can't afford. Do you think we're made of money, spending it like it was water? There's a lecky bill on the way, and mortgage up to wear him at the end of it. Oh, girl, we'll lose everything I've worked for you, for both of us.
Jeremy, are you all right?
Sorry, it's unemployment business. I think it's beginning to affect me.
Oh, don't worry. There's still my earnings from the shop.
I don't want to sound old-fashioned, but dash it, old puppy. The chap is supposed to be the breadwinner.
Dinner would be more useful.
No, you know what I mean. The man is the natural hunter.
Yes, you know, I've always admired your ability to stock a box of cornflakes and then bring them down with your bare hands.
What am I going to do? I suppose it's a labor exchange for me first thing in the morning.
And meanwhile, I'll make some economies. Those tartan shoelaces are going straight back to the shop.
Ah, this must be the place. Jobs and things, very modern. Next. Ah, good morning. I've been made redundant and... Good Lord, Paul, what are you doing behind that desk?
Oh, hello, Jezza. Well, it was like this, you see. As I believe I mentioned last night, I had the idea of starting up this new business in a major growth... Dead simple, easy to do, worked out a treat, and here I am as large as life.
Sorry, Paul, I didn't quite catch that bit in the middle.
Well, I told you that I was jacking in the sex shop and setting up in a growth industry, so I turned the peep show cubicles into interview booths, and voila, here we are.
Very ingenious. You should be able to help me, then.
I'll try, Jezza, but I warn you, no favouritism. I've got to do this by the book.
Oh, of course.
So, if you'll just fill in these forms, then go and sit on one of those broken Formica chairs for 3 hours while I go and make a cup of tea and lose your files.
Oh, Paul.
All right, Jezza, all right. I'll bend the rules for you and go straight to the interview. So, you claim you're not working, Mr. Hardy. I see you're wearing a tie, and quite a nice one at that. A printed, isn't it? Must have cost £6 or £7. So you've got some savings, then. And I see you're a married man. Do you keep your food in the same cupboard as your wife?
Yes.
Oh, cohabitation, so that's your filthy little game. My wife and I have never even met each other. No, we respect each other too much. Besides, I haven't finished paying for her yet, so she's still in the Philippines. You come round here with your hard luck story, trying to scrounge money for your slot machines and coffee bar reefers. You make me sick, you idle young ton-up kids, with your long, hairy motorbikes and your greasy drainpipe bongo drums.
Quite finished.
Yep, I think that just about covers it.
Good, because I don't think I'd take much more of this.
Nah, to tell you the truth, Jezza, I'm getting a bit cheesed off with this office caper. I'm a free spirit like yourself. You know, it's time you and I joined forces. I mean, we're both go-ahead, enterprising types, right?
Yes.
Because if you take the enterprise economy philosophy to its logical conclusion, the answer is obvious. You and I, Jeremy, should do a job.
That's why I came here.
No. A you-know-what job.
What? A ring job?
Oh, a bank job.
Oh, I think you need qualifications to work in a bank.
Blue Jezzer, we are going to rob a bank.
Paul, are you suggesting that we illegally enter private premises, take monies held in trust which don't belong to us, abscond with them, keep them, not give them back, spend them on whatever we want? Have to be careful.
No problem, Jezzer. I've got the plans drawn up. I'll come round to your place this afternoon and fill you in on the blag.
And so, while enterprise of a nefarious nature is being planned under the cloak of secrecy, it's business as usual for an honest trader in her up-to-the-minute boutique amid the chaotic hurly-burly of the modern high-powered merchandising whirligig.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. And how's your new boyfriend? And the dog? Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea to get them done. No, they don't miss them after a while. What? Oh, I thought you were talking about your boyfriend.
Excuse me.
Look, if you can just wait a minute, I'm busy on the phone. So where did you say you got your legs waxed? Oh, look, Charmian, I've got to hang up. I'm rushed off my feet here. Yes, what do you want? Oh, sorry, Caroline. I thought you were a customer.
That's all right. Busy day.
I'm always busy. You know, I've got the hatpin market sewn up. You see, Caroline, if you're in business, you've got to be determined. You've got to be tough, single-minded, ruthless, mean, spiteful, vicious. And above all, the customer is always right.
No, Kit. The customer is guilty until proven innocent. That's the first lesson we learn in our neighbourhood watch shopkeepers' advice seminars. The diligent shopkeeper is always on guard for the following suspicious types. One, the browser who makes no purchases, waiting for the right moment to strike. The customer who makes too many purchases, a classic smoke screen. The customer who makes only one purchase, an obvious decoy. The customer who stays at home and never even enters the shop to lull you into a false sense of security.
Yes, well, that just about covers every category of potential shoplifters. Well, vertebrates anyway.
But the bony Fido shopper with nothing to hide will never object to a brief strip search and friendly internal examination. Let me show you how it works.
Look, I'd rather not.
Not that silly. I mean the crime. Look, let's stage a reenactment of the type of crime that might happen to you. I'll pretend to be a robber and you'll be the shopkeeper. Right, now I'll go outside. And you've got to prevent me from stealing when I come back in, right?
Well, that's easy enough. Sorry, we're closed.
You've got to give me a chance.
I am going to give you a chance. A chance to make a fresh start. A chance to turn your back on this life of crime.
Oh, come on, Kurt, let me in.
All right, all right. Good morning. How may I serve you?
Could you just change this £50 note for the telephone?
Yeah, sure. Well, let's see. 30, 40, and £50 worth of 10p's. Caroline, where are you going?
Uh-huh. You see? While you were distracted with that change, I was nearly out the door with this hatpin secreted about my person. Ouch!
Boy, you got me there. You made off with a hatpin worth 90p, and here I am stuck with £50.
Yeah, but it's the principle.
What principle?
That crime doesn't pay.
Meanwhile, back at the Hardy household, a daring and determined man prepares for the crucial rendezvous with his criminal accomplice, with that casual demeanor under stress that is the mark of icy self-control and nerves of steel.
Oh, God, that's the fourth time in an hour. I must have been out of my mind to agree to this insane plan. I'm not a criminal. I've got Shaw Taylor's autograph. Perhaps Paul will forget the whole thing and not come round after all. What's that? Something's at the window. Paul, what are you doing out there?
Out of the way, Jezzer, out of the way. Right, let me in. Right, now close the window. I don't think I was followed. I walked to the embankment, took a bus to Shoreditch, doubled back on foot, got a tube, changed twice. I've got a reversible wind cheater. Went to Victoria, took a taxi to Watford Gap Services and hitched back.
Paul, you only live upstairs.
Yeah, but you can't be too careful. Now,
Is it all right to talk?
Yes, as long as you haven't got your mouth full.
Let's go into the shower.
Paul, I'm a married man.
It's to drown out the sound of our voices in case the place is bugged. Come on.
Oh. Paul, are you sure we actually have to stand under the water?
Don't ask questions. Now, here is some information. This is a map of the entire London sewage system. These are the departure times of the boat trains to Calais. This is a diagram of the internal workings of an industrial vacuum pump. Here is a list of the cheapest vegetarian restaurants in Buenos Aires. And this is an English to continental footwear size conversion table.
I see, yes. What's all this for?
I don't know, I found them in the front of my boy's own diary. But here is a street map of Islington showing the bank.
Paul, I don't want to see it. I'm not cut out for all this.
Are you getting cold feet, Jezza?
Yes, this shower's bloody freezing.
Don't panic, Jezza. Just act natural. I'll nip out through the kitchen window. You stash these plans somewhere safe, but not in the house, all right?
I'll hide them out in the window box.
Yeah, window box. Meet me at 8 tonight outside the Angel Tree station.
Yeah, all right. There. Better answer the door. Caroline, hello, come in, bring your friends.
I brought a couple of friends round from the neighbourhood watch scheme.
What? Why? There's nothing here worth watching. No crimes being planned or anything like that.
No, they've just come round for a little chat.
Oh.
This is Mr and Mrs Proctor Powell.
Hello.
How do you do?
Come in. I say, that's a striking outfit, Caroline. Rather a severe military look.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
That reminds me, can I just pop into the kitchen and polish my spurs? Have you got any brass?
Yes, help yourself. I'll just go and put the cuffs on. I mean, the kettle. Make some tea.
Please don't trouble yourself, Mr. Hardy. My wife and I partake of a glass of cold water at 11 o'clock each morning, and we find that quite sufficient, don't we, Mother?
Yes, dear.
We disapprove of stimulating beverages.
I see.
We prefer to keep a clear head, Mr. Hardy. We must remain vigilant if we are to guard our loved ones from the criminal menace stalking our streets.
Yes, yes, quite.
I'll blame the wireless.
We must protect our own and what is ours, after all, Mr. Hardy. We have a sacred duty to our kith and kin.
I've got machetes, you know.
Well, of course, it's the current permissive climate that's responsible for the shocking lack of discipline in society. I was given a sound thrashing every day of my life, whether I deserved it or not, and it's made me the man I am today. It would have much less of this violence if these muggers had some sense knocked into them when they were toddlers.
They're not the same as us, you know.
I could show you statistics that would shock you, Mr. Hardy. Facts, figures, cranial measurements. Decent British children being forced to speak exotic tongues at primary school.
Algebra.
Do you realise, my friend, that the resolve of this once proud island people is being sapped by a depraved tide of antisocial parasites? It's as plain as the nose on your face, if only you'd care to measure it. And it's up to the individual to launch a heroic struggle to create a secure society for decent, sturdy folk by purging our mighty breed with a cleansing sword of fire and random execution so that our magnificent race can once more breathe the air of freedom. But for this, we need space, Mr. Hardy, to flourish free from the choking weeds of inferior genetic strains. We need room for proper living for one healthy folk, one living room. Eine Lebensraum für eine Volk, eine Volk für eine Reich, eine Reich for 1,000 Jahre, ja, 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 für sein, sein, und nicht für sein, sein, sein. Das ist hier, die Freude, Freude, Freude.
Coffee then.
Shiny. Now, have you all been getting to know each other? Mr. Proctor Powell's such a chatterbox, isn't he?
Yes, we've had a free and frank exchange of views. Well, that'll be kids.
Oh, babes. Fluffy, wuffy kidney's here, meow. And she's hungry for her little mousy. Is he in his hole? Meow.
Hello, Kit. Visitors.
Crap.
Darling, these are the Proctor Powells.
How unfortunate.
Oh, from the Neighbourhood Watch Scheme.
Jeremy, offer our guest a chair. Mr. Proctor Powell can't be comfortable standing on the sideboard.
Oh, he was... he was just throwing out some ideas.
Yeah. I can see them splashed all down the front of his shirt.
Shall I lift you down now, Oswald?
Yes, please, Mother. I think I've made my point.
Well, I can't stand here nattering all day. I've got to go and find some eye holes for me white sheet. I'll leave you all to get acquainted.
No, please don't. Leave.
Bye.
Ah, now, Mrs. Hardy, how fortuitous. I understand that you are the proprietress of a haberdashery emporium.
Not me, I run a shop.
Quite so. And have you considered the use of Alsatians, electronic devices and chains?
Yeah, but they still won't buy anything.
So I'm sure that you won't hesitate to cooperate in the Islington Neighbourhood Watch Vigilante Scheme and Mobile Revenge Unit. We offer courses in counter-surveillance, weapons training, covert assassination, and post-nuclear survival techniques.
You know, that should come in handy for the sales.
You may scoff, Mrs. Hardy, but we must be prepared for any eventuality.
Oh, sure, like when those armed mobs of commie perverts ransack my shop for that one crucial hatpin that'll bring down democracy as we know it. Yeah, I get a lot of that.
I think you'll find, Mrs. Hardy, that nonconformists and troublemakers who don't cooperate in our scheme very soon experience problems with security.
Hey, what is this? A protection racket?
No. I just think of it as insurance.
Well, Mr. Proctor Pal, I won't keep you. I'm sure the flies will be wanting their dinner. Oh, and use the rear entrance. You know, the one you talk out of.
Come along, Mother. I warn you, you will regret...
Get out!
Well, interesting couple. Look, kid, I've got to go out for a while.
Why?
I think I'll meet Paul.
Oh, and I was going to fix you a special dinner. It's your favourite, luncheon meat Parisienne.
Sorry, darling, got to go. I'll see you later.
Hello, Jeremy, you go now?
Yes, I'm on the run. I've got to run. Bye.
Come on in, Caroline. You want some boil in the bag?
No, thanks, I don't like boils. Look, Kit, something really funny just happened. Just as I was walking under your bathroom window on the way home, these papers fell on my head. And look, I think it's planned for some sort of robbery.
Really? Why?
Oh, look, there's a cross drawn here, right, with robbery here, 8 o'clock written on it.
Hey, let me see that.
This looks like a job for the neighbourhood watch shop troops. I'm going in there after them. And hey, let's be careful out there. Bye.
Oh, what is this stuff? Hey, wait. This is Paul's handwriting. Oh, no. And Jeremy's gone to meet him. Those morons. Well, I better go and warn them before Caroline's amateur Gestapo form a friendly neighborhood lynch mob and barbecue my husband.
And so, as night descends upon the teeming city, the deserted streets echo to the stealthy footfalls of a pair of sinister desperados whose darting shadows betray their vile and burglarious intent. Meanwhile, the finest brains of Scotland Yard were completely baffled. But considering that the crime had yet to be perpetrated, that's hardly surprising.
Jezza, did you bring the getaway car?
No, I came on the bus.
What?
Well, I had a couple of drinks to steady my nerves and I realised I was over the limit. Don't worry, I ordered a minicab to take us home.
Oh, great! Tell the whole world about it, won't you?
It's all right, I used a false name.
What if they don't turn up?
Oh, they know me, then. Is the coast clear?
I don't know, I haven't heard the shipping forecast. All right, Jezza. Now listen, I've brought the disguises. Here's mine, and here is yours.
Paul, what on earth is this?
All right. You can be Fu Manchu and I'll be Mae West. All right, Jezza, this is the big one. Let's go for it.
Paul, where exactly is this bank?
It's here, Jezza. We stood in front of it.
But, Paul, this is a bottle bank.
That's right. Now remember, Jezza, it's 7p on a Lucozade, 9 on a barley wine, and the jackpot is the Grosch, 13p.
Paul, I thought we were going to rob a proper bank. Besides, how do you propose to get the bottles out?
Ah, that is where my master plan comes in, Jeremy. We use magnets.
Yes, magnets only work on metal.
Oh. In that case, it'll have to be an inside job. Breathe in, Jezza, you'll have to get through that hole.
Dungeons, the law, we've been rumbled. The Mozzers are onto us.
Now, if we get nabbed, Jezza, the only chance we've got is to stick together, right?
Right. Ah, thank God you're here, officer. You've arrived at a moment too soon. I may as well keep him talking, but be careful. I think he's dangerous. He may have a magnet.
Thanks, Jezza.
Well, if it isn't Bonnie and Clyde.
Kitty!
Public enemy number one and his charming wife. Oh, by the way, Paul, the seams, they go at the back.
How on earth did you find us?
Well, it was like this, see? I had a hunch.
Call it a deformity if you like. The writing was on the wall, but the plans were on the back of Paul's Unipart calendar. And then I knew. These guys, they were out of their depth, and they didn't have water wings. We're talking small potatoes. And even your average Joe knows that a successful bank heist was never pulled off by a root vegetable. I started to drive. Nowhere at first, but then I took the handbrake off. I followed my nose. Oh, it was running pretty fast, but I managed to keep up with it. My heart was pounding, my ears were ringing, my head was thumping, and my eyes had seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Suddenly, from behind...
I think we get the picture, Kitty.
Wait, there's just one more thing.
Nobody move! You are completely surrounded! Stop me!
Caroline's on her way.
Hey, Jeremy, what are you doing here? And Paul,
a nice outfit.
Oh, thanks.
Look, I wouldn't stay here if I were you.
Why not, Caroline?
Things could get pretty hairy. I've got definite information that a robbery's going to take place in this area.
No, surely not.
Robbery, really, idea.
I don't think so, Caroline.
Hold on, what was that?
Sounded like a shop window smashing down the road.
Hey, that's where my shop is.
You can't trust anyone these
days. Come on, let's go. Look, it is my shop.
I think there's someone inside.
Oh, brilliant. Can I arrest them? Oh, blast it, the police.
You could say that, Mom. In fact, I represent your new privatised local security service. Cops are us.
Great. What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, no, it's those ruddy cowboys from Filth you like.
Modern crime prevention for you and your loved ones. Nick you quick at your service.
Well, look, whoever you are, can't you do something about my shop?
That depends, Mom. If you're a fully paid-up subscriber to our scheme, I can nick them now. But if you only want third party, I'll have to give them a chance to get away.
Don't listen to him. If you stay with us today, we can offer guaranteed confessions, free trial, maximum sentences, and full prison-style detention experience.
Well, look, you guys just fight it out. I'm going in there after them. Come on, you guys. Okay, Jeremy, turn the lights on.
Right.
Well, 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 I might have known it.
Caught red-handed, as the timely action of our friends ensures that justice prevails and decent folk can sleep soundly in their beds. Back at the Hardy household, it's a celebratory pot of tea for our four weary crime fighters.
Gosh, who'd have thought that Mr. and Mrs. Proctor Powell would sink so low? It's not even as if they needed the hat pins.
Yeah, I guess it figures. When I wouldn't play along, I should have known they'd do one of two things. Break into my shop or invade Poland.
But they were no match for me, eh? Yeah? The look of sheer terror when they saw what they was up against, yeah?
Yeah, I'll bet they never reckoned on Mae West.
Lucky the police station was so near. Those privatised bobbies were only interested in our money. Once the profit motive is paramount, there's no thought of services being provided to the community. Rather than all this popular capitalism pish-posh, I should have thought a canyon would be to collectivise the means of production, distribution and exchange and hand the administration of resources to workers' councils, for example.
Hey, that'd make a great sticker. And by the way, I like that new one you've got for your car, Paul.
What sticker?
You know, the one that says, stop, do not attempt to move this vehicle. It has been immobilised by clap, you like.
Right. Right, that does it. I'm with you, Jezza. The revolution starts tomorrow.
What's the money like?
Well, I've decided to give Kurdish freedom fighters a 10% discount on the hat pin of their choice.
And I'm going to start a strike at the bookshop. I can do it on Sunday. They're closed then.
Liberty.
Equality.
Fraternity.
Time for tea.
You have been listening to Unnatural Acts, starring Jeremy Hardy, Kit Hollaback, Caroline Neddy, and Paul B. Davis. The script was written by Paul B. Davis, Jeremy Hardy, and Kit Hollaback, with additional material by Pete Sinclair and Caroline Neddy. And the producer was David Tyler. Join us next week when our four friends decide to adopt an adorable runaway giraffe from the local circus and inadvertently foil the diabolical plans of a gang of bogus coast guards.